We would like to thank your sponsor, Valley First, a division of First West Credit Union and a member-owned financial cooperative serving the Okanagan, Similkameen, and Thompson regions. They offer a wide range of banking and investment services for individuals and families. Valley First also has a talented business and commercial team to provide the expertise, products, and services local businesses need to grow and thrive.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Business Matters presented by Valley First, a division of First West Credit Union. My name is Rob Capello, and today we welcome Jason Peters back to Business Matters. Jason is the Director of Planning and Advice at Valley First. Jason, thanks for joining me again today.
Rob, my pleasure. Thanks very much for having me.
No problem. So November is financial literacy month, which is an important time to build in our financial confidence and knowledge. And financial literacy, or other people, you know, maybe term it as financial confidence and optimism, has a massive impact on not just individuals, but the community and economy as well. And although like November is financial literacy month, we want to shine a light on financial literacy in Canada, like all year round. So let's talk about a little bit about that. Before we do, I'd like to learn a little bit about what's going on in your world. So what are you hearing, seeing, and what are members feeling right now with things going on in the economy? What are you feeling and hearing from your members?
Well, it actually ties really nicely into financial literacy, because that happens to be the number one thing on our minds, because it's the number one thing on the minds of our members as a whole. We're all feeling the pressure and the pinch of rising living costs, and now needing more clarity and help than ever before to make meaning of why the world has changed this way, but then bringing it home to our own household situations, what can we do about it? Is it just one of those helpless things where we've got to just accept that it is what it is and we're going to lose ground with, you know, with our financial state? Or, you know, what are the things that we need to perhaps learn or relearn or learn for the first time to give us new skills, new techniques, new confidence to say, I still got a little bit of control here. I'm not completely at the mercy of fuel and food and living costs. Here's the things that I probably should have learned before now, but because of that external environment, now we don't have the luxury of not knowing it.
Interesting. Well, thank you for that. And what is your role, Jason? So your role is as Director of Planning and Advice. Like, so what does your role entail?
Yeah, it entails lots of fun. So I work with a team of financial professionals, and they're the ones that serve our members. So they look after the members, and I try to look after them as best that I can. It's keeping my ear to the ground on the needs of the members, which then become the needs of our advisors as well, and making sure that everyone's equipped to provide the types of advice that our members are looking for. It starts with taking the time to understand each person as an individual, each member, as we call them, what they're going through, their circumstances, what are their short-term needs, what are their long-term goals, and then solving for those things and staying in touch over time so that we continue to earn and re-earn that trust as a sounding board to come back saying, I'm thinking about this. Can I do this? Should I do this? What are the trade-offs? And then we let our members, you know, get on with their lives and try to flourish in our communities as people that, you know, no matter what comes our way, the expected or the unexpected, we feel like we've got a good advisor working hard for us.
Oh, that's great. And how long have you been at Valley First?
I'm coming up on 2 years. Best decision ever. Yes.
What were you doing before you joined Valley First?
Well, I've been in this capacity for over 20 years now, starting out in Vancouver. And then my wife and I and our kids, we moved to the Okanagan in 2016. I've stayed in the industry the whole time. I was with another institution, and then in 2021, coming out of COVID, pardon me, 2022, a bigger part in 2022, coming out of COVID, found Valley First and just thought, where's this been my whole life?
Yeah. I've met a lot of people on the team, and you guys are all amazing. So I can see why you've had the time there. So let's talk about financial literacy. So for people that maybe don't know what it is, so what is financial literacy, and why is it more important today more than ever?
Yeah, you know, there really should be a measurable scale, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, is my financial literacy a 6, an 8, a whatever? But it comes down to knowing what we need to know. So for instance, someone with a very complex financial situation, probably their scale needs to look a little bit different than someone whose situation is a little bit more straightforward. I've worked, Rob, over the years with some very affluent individuals and families and business owners whose situation is very, very complex. They've just never had the time or the wherewithal to dedicate to the financial literacy. Meanwhile, at the other end of the scale, I've worked with some families whose situations is very straightforward, but they've taken great pride in learning what they need to know to be clear and confident in their situation and the steps that they should be taking.
And why is it important now? Like, why do you think financial literacy is more especially important right now?
Yes, well, given the pace at which the world is changing and how much is sort of coming at us or dictated to us, just got to do what we got to do. And now add in the rising living costs. Why is it important is because when we feel out of control or we feel that we're getting behind or the debts are mounting or the things that we hope to do short term as treats and excursions or longer term, one of these days, the bucket list, the big ticket items, if we don't have that control and if frustration or hopelessness creeps in, it starts to affect other things. It affects our well-being. It affects our physical state. It can affect relationships and it impacts how we show up at work as well. So financial literacy becomes, I would say, a pretty important skill, almost a weapon in developing resiliency to, just the demands around us in everyday life.
Interesting. And you mentioned sort of, you think there should be a scale. So how do people what's the best way to assess what your level of financial literacy is? Like, how do you go about doing that?
I've given this a lot of thought and I've got two ideas or two suggestions for everyone. Number one would be either through Amazon or your local bookstore, pick up a really easy read from the financial literacy section and don't open it up thinking, okay, I've got to learn all this or memorize it, but instead take a highlighter and read it really casually front to back and highlight the concepts, the phrases, the things that we ourselves individually don't understand. And then go back and flip through it and see just how many things it is that we've highlighted. There's a great, very personal self gauge on just how much we really don't or don't do or don't know. And then I think it's a question of saying, okay, now that I got a bit of a sense of what I know or I don't know, let me relook at all my financial information. And all of a sudden, hopefully the things that we see on our statements or when we sign in to our online banking, it starts to look like more than just numbers. Mm-hmm. What do these things really represent? And month to month, if there's a bit of change, is it change for the good? And can we recognize why? Or are we slipping a bit? And can we recognize why? So I would start with that. I'd start with a great read. And then I would try to transpose that into our financial situation and just sort of see exactly where those gaps are.
And I think that's a great easy takeaway from listeners to do right as well. So I'm an audiobook guy. Is it okay if I do an audiobook and I write down instead of highlight?
I love it. I think that's terrific. And I've got one more tip as well. If we're in a relationship with a partner and we find that talking about money matters always takes the back seat, we're too busy, it's not comfortable, or it feels too confrontational, my suggestion is try a different way of conversing on this. So for instance, go out and get out for a walk and go for a walk where we're side by side versus across the kitchen table, which across the kitchen table can be a little bit uncomfortable, adversarial, confrontational. When we go out for a walk, not only are we getting a bit of fresh air and we're getting time with our significant other, but when we're side by side, it can lend itself to more open conversations than some sort of forced meeting inside the home.
That's great advice, actually. And you're so right. It takes away sort of some of the confrontation side when you're going for a walk. Interesting. So if I'm listening to this and I'm like, I still feel a little lost, like I don't know when it comes to financial literacy, I still feel a little lost. Is there areas where someone, is there any support area out there you can recommend? Like how does someone go and find more information, for lack of a better word?
Yeah, we all deserve, a trusted relationship with an advisor institution. So my recommendation is, if you don't have one already, to take the steps to acquire one, interview a few if you feel so inclined, and ask yourself, is this person taking the time to listen and understand me? Is this person taking the time to ask thoughtful questions to get to know me better and to help me start to think about things? And then at the end of the interview, say to ourselves, do I feel, like I'm in a bit of a better spot here? I wasn't talked down to. I wasn't given a bunch of jargon. I wasn't recommended product or solutions without understanding sort of why and how they benefit from me. And having that individual wherever you deal, start to feel like someone you can go to with that level of trust. I'm thinking about this, and I'm not embarrassed to say I don't know the right thing to do. What else do I need to know? That's the start of a really good relationship.
I love that. That's great advice. And we all know there's lots of information out there, and some of it is not sound advice. So how do you know if you're getting good advice? And do you have examples of maybe your clients have told you or seen like where it hasn't been good advice, some bad advice you've seen out there?
Yeah, I've seen a fair amount of that as well. Sometimes we just know in our gut, and it will come back to just how quickly did we get to the prescription versus time right. spent around the diagnosis. We'll know that as well. Right. You know, some of the, I guess, you know, specific examples of advice that it may not be the best would be too specific in one area mm-hmm. without getting to sort of the root cause. So if I'm struggling with bills or my credit cards are starting to, you know, go up, the quick fix is, well, let's put all that into a line of credit. Right? That will consolidate the payments and bring the interest right. rates down. But if I don't understand how I got into that place right. in the first place, or if I don't have some new ways to say, well, how do I avoid that happening again? I can't come back in every year and get another line of credit. That to me is the essence of really, really good advice. So the bad advice would be the opposite of that, would be the, right. the quick fixes. Hey, this will take care of that without getting to sort of the root cause and how we plan better.
Yeah, so you don't get into a vicious cycle of just doing it over and over again.
Right, right, yeah. Exactly.
So are there foundational pieces that you'd recommend in order to build someone's financial literacy, like key areas that people should focus on, like maybe budgeting, or is there something there that you would say is a good foundational piece you should start with?
Yes, budget equals base. Mm-hmm. I think of that because if we're trying to build our household well-being, right. like anything in life, if we want to build something, it's got to come from a strong base. And so budget is not the most glamorous or exciting of topics, but it's the place where we got to start. And if we say, well, okay, I'm getting the most dry and boring topic out of the way first, it can only get better from there. But yes, as we build and the base is strong, it enables us to make the right decisions. There's no point, I don't think, in talking about should I invest in an RSP or a TFSA or you know, decisions like that until we examine where's our money going? How do I make the most of what's coming in the door so that I can then feel good about those next decisions, including not feeling guilty about treats? I think that having, you know, play money and treat money is really, really important, and we shouldn't feel guilty about that. And I think at a level we do feel guilty if we haven't stopped to say, well, can I afford this? Maybe right. this needs to wait a little bit more. Maybe some of these wants and needs I have can take a bit of a back seat until I just get a handle on what's coming in the door and how much I have left at the end of the month. And then we can enjoy those treats to our heart's content because we've got a bit more of a budget, a bit more of a plan.
Interesting. So you mentioned, you know, one of the advice you gave earlier was to go to the bookstore, grab a book. Is there any other great resources, tips and tricks, or even any books, specific books that you think would be impactful and great resources?
Yeah, specific books that come to mind. One's called Happy Money. Mm. The other is Worry-Free Money. Mm. Both speak to budget and balance in life and not try to preach that we can't have fun and treat ourselves from time to time, but they start to examine the decisions around why we spend where we do. Right. But they both have some practical takeaway tips to help people feel that they can take a bit more control. In addition to that, I'd encourage folks to do some research and reading online from various financial institutions. Valley First's website as well, valleyfirst.com, has some great resources right now. Advice types of articles, ones that come to mind on our site at the moment would be around things to consider if you're switching your mortgage, you know, what to detect and be aware of with online scams. I think that's part of financial literacy as well. How do we don't fall victim to those as they become more and more sophisticated? So please check us out at valleyfirst.com.
Love it. And something that's probably a question that's relevant to me for kids. So how do parents begin to build financial literacy with kids? Like what are some tips that you have that, and I always feel like I'm going to get on my soapbox for a second, is that they don't teach this in school. And I feel like they need to, because a lot of kids will graduate and don't have financial literacy and how to budget and, you know, savings and all that. So what can parents do to help that?
I'll start from what's working or not working in my own home as a parent with three. My wife and I, if she were here with us, she'd agree that it can't be something that is taught down from parents to children. I don't think children, when they reach an age where we're talking about money matters, like to be told, do it the way mom and dad have always done it. Let's flip that around and ask our kids, or say, I'm curious, tell me what you know about money management so far. Impress me. Tell me what you know, what you've heard, what you've picked up, the good or the bad, and engage in a conversation that way versus it being a teaching lesson. The second thing is that, talking again about my family as well, all three of my children have phones. And I think just the reality is that our relationship with our money and our financial institutions now has an electronic or an online component. And having an app for our, financially of age children as well, that's increasingly of just the way the world is. So it can't be a relationship with some brick and mortar institution only, or I just wait every month to get my statement. I think the youth today want that information quicker and at their fingertips. So let's make sure that we have that available for them.
That's great. Those are great tips. And how does Valley First, where do you see the role they play in financial literacy within the community, like within communities? Where do you see that role that Valley First is playing?
Well, because our purpose is to serve our members and enrich our communities, when we start to think about financial literacy as part of our overall health, right, and our ability to withstand curveballs and have resiliency, then that now at a larger scale at the community level takes on a real importance for us, because we're only as strong as our community is, because those are our owners. Those are our members. And so we approach things from very much an individual point of view of wanting to take the time to understand everyone's situation and then partner with people at a very approachable level so that folks know they've got a place to come when they need advice, or they're torn between some decisions, or they're not sure, what are the risks out there that I need to be preparing for.
Excellent. So if people are listening, and we probably didn't cover all their questions, but if they have some specific questions, what's the best way for them to reach out to someone at Valley First and maybe get their questions answered or talk to somebody?
Great idea. Walk in, come and see us at any of our locations throughout the interior. We've also got contact information on our website. People can reach out to me as well. We love having new conversations with folks or revisiting conversations. It's been a while. We need to see where things are at.
Love it. Well, Jason, thank you so much for taking some time today and sharing, I think, some really great takeaway information, like some things that people can actually action right away, which I think is great. Thank you so much for sharing that information with us.
Oh, my pleasure, Robin. Thanks so much for this opportunity. Thanks for having me on today.
No problem. And for everyone, we're living in some interesting times right now. It's important that more than ever to ensure you're educated about your financial options. And you can always reach out to the team at Valley First. They're very approachable and they love to chat. So please do, and have a great rest of your day. And thank you for tuning into Business Matters. Thank you, Jason.
Thanks again.
No problem.
We would like to thank your sponsor, Valley First, a division of First West Credit Union and a member-owned financial cooperative serving the Okanagan, Similkameen, and Thompson regions. They offer a wide range of banking and investment services for individuals and families. Valley First also has a talented business and commercial team to provide the expertise, products, and services local businesses need to grow and thrive.